We're going to be going to the middle of the Old Testament, or somewhat there, to one of the major prophets called Ezekiel. Can't remember the last time I spoke out of his book, but I'll never forget Moses saying that the minor prophets were going to have a case with us in glory because they will say, "You never spoke out of my book." Now, Ezekiel is a major prophet, but I challenge you to remember the last time you heard a message out of the book of Ezekiel. If you could please call me the reference in May. All right. Here we go. So if you have, thank you, brother. Thank you. It's not often that you hear a message out of the book of Ezekiel. When you do, it's typically Ezekiel 47, which talks about the river of God, Ezekiel 18 and other chapters, which is all fine and good. I like to read the Bible. I mean, I like just, not only personally, not only my devotional time, when I get in the pulpit, I like to read it. But now, why? Well, because Paul said, give attention to reading. He told Timothy that. But not only that, some people don't read the Bible. I'm just being honest. Some Christians don't read the, they don't, and then when they do, they like, what am I reading? And I was listening to the Scottish brother, Alistair Begg. Thank you, Alistair Begg. There you go. And so he was teaching his congregation, and he said, you know, when you come to the Scripture and you read anywhere in the Scripture, ask yourself a few questions. Does this text say anything about God the Father? Does this text say anything about God the Son? Does this text say anything about God the Holy Spirit? Does this text require anything of me? And just asking few simple questions like that as you read the Bible will bring out so much as it pertains to our knowledge of God, because Peter said we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, right? So we're growing not only in grace but in knowledge as we live this life. And a great deal of knowledge, by the way, comes about through your living. And through all the things that you're going through, you're gaining knowledge of who he is. Remember what Job said. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But after what he went through, he says, but now my eye sees you. There it is. Come on. Are you excited about living now? Huh? Come on, because this life that we're living, we're gaining knowledge of God. I went to a customer's house to deliver her rugs just the other day, whom a year ago, when I opened the door, when she opened the door, she and I stepped inside. She says, Pat, what have I done to God? You may remember me telling you this. I mean, she says, what have I done to God? I don't understand it. It's like he has a mark on my back. You know, Job said that. Job said, God's put a target on my back. And she was saying the same thing. And she said she was naming the list of things that were going wrong in her life. And I said to her, I said, well, ma'am, you know, Job went through a lot. And he teaches us a few things about walking with God. Her husband piped up and said, yeah, honey, that's the one who was swallowed by the whale. You know, Job. And I kind of chuckled a little bit. I was like, no, that's another guy. But when I got to her house last week, she says, she opened up the door and she says, I want you to know I've been reading the book of Job. First thing out of her mouth. I want you to know I've been reading the book of Job, because I ain't forgot what we talked about last year. And that helped me so much when I saw all that Job went through. Job 13 and 1, I believe it is, says, man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. I mean, that's what Job said. Few of days and full of trouble. And sometimes when we get it mixed up and we're like, God, there's so much going on. No, everyone's going through that. Everyone. Life is short and it can be very hard. It can be very difficult. That's just the truth of it. Right? And so we're growing in knowledge as we walk with the Lord. So I'm going to turn to the book of Ezekiel, and I want to look at chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, I would love to put up some images because when you read what was going on in Ezekiel's life and this vision that he had, it's quite a scene. Now, I'm going to start in chapter 1, but my text is in chapter 2. Because I said I like to read. So I want to read. Is that all right? Father, we thank you for your word now. And Lord, as we come to it, would you help us? Help us to see clearly. Help us to, see the power and the majesty of who you are, Lord, revealed in this Old Testament scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. I love reading this because when you read things like this, you begin to understand some things. And one is that when God wants you to see something, beloved, guess what? You're going to see it when he wants you to see something. And it doesn't matter where you are, because here is Ezekiel amongst the captives as they were going to be in Babylon because of all of the sins that Judah and Israel committed against the Lord. They're in captivity. And yet the Lord comes to this prophet, a contemporary of Jeremiah, the prophet, and as he's sitting there, he has this vision of God as the heavens are open on the fifth day of the month, which is in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The word of the Lord, verse 3, came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. I would, if I had time, and if I was going to teach through the book of Ezekiel, which would be quite a task, lay the context for this passage of Scripture, both the date, time, so forth, the prophets who had gone before Ezekiel, who are shortly coming after him, and so forth. Verse 4, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. You can imagine sitting by a river and you look towards the north or whatever direction it is, and here comes a ball of fire. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you weren't part of the track team, you probably would want to be then. I mean, because you would say to yourself, what is this? Because when you have a vision, when God opens up your eyes to see, it's not necessarily, I remember being caught up in an open vision, and what I saw was it wasn't like I was caught away in another place. It was right there in all the surroundings. It was just what God was showing was right there. I was aware of everything around me, but what he was doing was caught my attention, right? And so Ezekiel sees this brightness, and all around it radiating out of it like the midst of it like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. So this fire is coming. Also from within it came the likeness of four creatures. Again, if I were teaching through this, would love to have the time. But as it mentions the four living creatures, it harkens us to the book of Revelation, where John the Apostle saw four living creatures, one with the head of an ox, a man, an eagle, and a lion. And this passage of Scripture goes on and says, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. So these four creatures had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Now, I had pictures of this because when you go and Google the image, you can see a picture of what you can imagine in your mind right now, a person's body with four faces on it, right? Each had four faces, and each one had four wings. The seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6 had six. The seraphim in Revelations 4, so they had six wings. But these creatures have four wings. And their legs were straight, verse 7, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides. And each of the four had faces and wings. And so here you have a man's body, a head, four heads on this body. You had wings on the back, and the wings, as we'll get down further, it says that the wings covered their body. The two wings covered their bodies. Let's see. Verse 9, their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And as I was reading commentaries, and the beautiful, I don't know if it's the beautiful thing, but scholars, so many of them disagree as to what exactly this vision means that Ezekiel is having. None of them, there is no consensus. Some believe it's judgment coming out of the north. The Assyrians were north of Israel. They would come down into and bring, God would allow them to bring judgment upon Israel. So they see the fire coming out of the north as judgment. R.C. Sproul and others see what Ezekiel is actually seeing here is called the chariot of God. And that God, as we'll see, he's above the creatures, and the creatures are above the wheels. And then the throne of God is above all this. And God is moving on this vision that is coming about here. So let me read on. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, each one had the face of a man. Each one of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. So the face of a lion and a man on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. And of course, commentators liken the ox to that which is sacrificial. They've been compared to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so forth and so on. Verse 11, thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. So two of their wings covered their bodies, and two of their wings stretched upward. And one commentator said that no creature, not meaning just human beings, but no creature can stand exposed to the glory of God, so they must cover themselves. You remember with the Ark of the Covenant, it said with two wings they flew, or in the book of Revelation, and with two wings they covered themselves. Speaking of the seraphims, in the Isaiah 6 and in the book of Revelation. Verse 12, and each one went straight forward. Another commentator speaks of how that when God speaks to these creatures, they go straight to their task. They go straight to their task. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. They did not turn when they went. They went straight for the will of God. Whatever the Spirit told them to do, they went straight forward. They did not turn to the left hand or to the right hand, but they did and always accomplished the will of God. Verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. You can imagine this scene. This is just a scene of God's power and of his glory. I was cleaning carpet on Friday. Friday was quite a windy day. And I was in an old part of Vienna, and the trees, they had oak trees that must have been, I don't know how tall these. I'm going to say, what's tall? I'm going to say 60, 70 feet. But the wind is blowing and just howling through these trees. Now, I don't know if the woman was watching me inside. I didn't care. But I'm outside getting my equipment. I'm standing looking straight up. And I'm looking at hearing the wind and watching these trees blow. And these trees are literally just blowing like this. And the wind of God is just blowing these trees. And I'm thinking to myself, who would want to fight you? Who would want to come against you who causes the wind. This wasn't a strong wind. This is just, but the power of it. God's power, His glory, and His majesty is revealed in creation. It's revealed in creation. He's put it everywhere for us to see it. And it's seen here coming out of the fire, because it says the fire was bright and out of the fire went lightning. Don't think lightning is strong. Two people have lost their lives in, was it Yosemite or I forget when it was in the Midwest. They lost their lives this year to storms in the park where lightning struck them and killed them. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. That's how fast they were to do the will of God. Verse 15, now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their working was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. That would be where the creatures were. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome. Now, you hear this word, I love this word. He uses this word, awesome. We use awesome to describe when someone does a skateboard trick or when someone does a flip in a ski. We say that's awesome. Beloved, that's not awesome. Huh? Now, awesome is when you see something that totally overwhelms your human senses and you don't know what to do. Now, if we were to see what Ezekiel saw, I doubt we'd be able to say awesome, as we'll see in a second. It says, as for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. Speaking of the all-seeing eye of God, He knows everything, His omniscience, right? Verse 19, when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. I was praying while I'm reading this, said, Lord, make us like these living creatures. Now, these are creatures. It'd be safe to say, you know, some people are looking for aliens. The Vatican Church, according to some articles I've read, the Vatican Church, along with NASA and some others, are looking for aliens. Well, I have your aliens as they'd be aliens to us. They're right here. You know, God has made living creatures that are not like us. But the Bible calls them cherubim, and the Bible calls them seraphim, and you have angels. But God has, there's more than just one type of creature. Now, we're made in His image. So, you know, we're the chief of His creation. Jesus didn't take on the nature of an angel or cherubim. He took on the nature, He came in the likeness of man, right? But it says wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went and the wheels were lifted up together, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So wherever the living creatures went, wherever the Spirit of God sent the living creatures, the wheels were right there. The wheels were right there. Well, beloved, we have His Spirit in us. We have His Spirit in us. And my prayer as I'm reading this, and I know this is in a totally different context, but as I'm reading this, I'm saying, Lord, I want to go where Your Spirit sends me. I want my children. I want my family. I want this church. I want our lives to go where You send us. Help us. Verse 21, when those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. That's been repeated now three times in a row, verses 19, 20, and 21. God was trying to get something across. Verse 22, The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal. There's that word awesome again. And this is likened to, in Revelation chapter 4, John saw God sitting on a throne, a sea of glass like crystal. A sea of glass like crystal. Were they seeing possibly the same thing? Verse 23, and under the firmament their wings spread out straight, one toward another. I had a really nice image of this, of one depiction. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. So when these creatures flew, it was like, you ever been to Niagara Falls and hearing the water just fall? It was like the noise of a mighty army rushing. A great noise, just by them flying, the noise of their wings. Verse 25, now up to this point, no voice has been heard. He's just seeing, just a vision. But in verse 25, he says, a voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne. Now, remember, he's not saying there was a throne. He says the likeness of a throne. The appearance of a throne. And on the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of man above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around and within. So Ezekiel's seeing a vision of the throne of God. And he says when he looks and he sees this appearance, he says from his waist and upward, all I'm seeing is fire. Well, Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. He's a fire. And he goes on and he says, and from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. John, in Revelation chapter 1, says that when he saw the voice that was speaking to him, he said, I turned around to see the voice speaking to me, and he said, I saw one whose feet was like burnished brass, which is mentioned here. He said, when I looked into his eyes were a flame of fire. And sometimes we think we know Jesus. If anybody knew Jesus in the New Testament, who would it have been? John. But John saw Jesus that day that he did. He looked at it and said, whoo. We don't know everything about him, church. Verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. Let me read that again. Verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. Tucked in this scripture is a hint of God's mercy. If all of this was talking about judgment, then the mention of the rainbow is God's mercy. Because he said to Noah, I will no longer judge the earth by water. I will no longer ever again wipe out the earth by water. He says, but I place my bow in the sky so that you'll remember the covenant that I made with you. So there's mercy on the way here for Israel, as if God is saying, I may allow judgment to come. And he did allow Nebuchadnezzar to come. But he said, I will not wipe out you totally, but I'll leave a remnant. I'll leave a remnant. That speaks to the mercy of God. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when Ezekiel is seeing this whole vision, when he gets to the end, he says, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What was Ezekiel's response to the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord? So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Ezekiel, after this great vision, he falls to his face. The only right response, the only right response for someone who has been confronted with the glory of God. You remember I told you that I had the pastor who started this church went up into a cabin and was asking God and kept seeking the Lord and asking him, please show me your glory. And the Lord wouldn't. And he persisted and kept asking. And finally, one day he was praying, Lord, show me your glory. And he said a sound came like the rumbling of a train. But it was so loud and it was so strong, his cabin started to shake. He thought a train was fixing to come through his cabin. It scared him so bad that he jumped up, ran out of the cabin, got in his car, and went home. And he said to the Lord, no. Don't show me any. I can't take it. Don't show me. And the Lord had told him, stop. I'm not going to, he felt in his spirit that he shouldn't have been, but he just kept persisting. And he said after that, I don't want to see your glory, Lord. I don't want to see it. And so here we have Ezekiel. I don't know if you've ever seen anything that after you saw it, put you flat on your face. I've never seen anything that after I've seen it, I just went down in humiliation. But Ezekiel, this happened to him. He assumed the correct position of a person who has just seen a vision of the likeness of the Almighty One. And so after he's humbled, he hears the voice of one speaking. And so we start in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm only going to look at a few verses. So all that Ezekiel just saw now is preparing him, or has prepared him, for what he's about to hear. And Ezekiel states, and he, speaking of the one who is sitting on the throne, he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Now, this is interesting, because here's Ezekiel. Now, when he's on his face, I don't think he's just down there leisurely trying to take a nap. When Ezekiel is on his face, one would understand that he's on his face and just in fear, not in the fear of the Lord. Now, maybe not in fear of his life, but in fear, because all of this imagery, the Jews would understand this, but he's down there in fear, in the fear of God. And then he hears himself being addressed, son of man, son of man. Now, man, we talked about this last week or the week before, that man, what is man? James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. Peter says that the glory of man is as grass. Come on. He said it's like the flower that fades. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And God, who has just given Ezekiel this great vision, what can a great vision do to you? Paul said this, because of the abundance of the revelations given to me, there was also given to me a thorn in the flesh. When you have great visions of God, it's God will also have to humble you so that you don't get lifted up. So God called him son of man, son of weakness, son of frailty. Come on. Son of man. Remember now, Ezekiel, who you are. Don't be lifted up by the visions that you've just seen, which is a privilege. Don't think too highly of yourself. And so the voice comes to him, "Son of man, stand up on your feet." The scripture didn't say that Ezekiel was struggling to get up. Ezekiel was down on his face, and I imagine that he would have been okay if he just leave me right here for a while. I'm just going to stay right down here. The Bible doesn't say Ezekiel stood up on his feet. The Bible says that a voice came to him and said, "Ezekiel, son of man, stand on your feet." So it came as a command from God for him to get up. Jesus said this in Matthew 23, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be lifted up." And so as Ezekiel is humbled, stretched out before the Lord says, "Okay, now get up. It's time for you to get up." Why? Because you've humbled yourself. Oh, God. Come on, church. You ever find yourself being humble? See, because the Lord did this in Ezekiel. The Lord humbled him. And then after he humbled him, he said, "Ezekiel, stand up." I remember, oh my goodness, how many young ministers, when they enter the ministry, just want to go straight to the top. Come on. That's the human way. Come on. I'm going to have a church of 5,000 people. I'm going to preach all over the globe. I'm going to do all this. Have you been? Has God laid you out? What are you talking about? No, we don't do that. No, we're going to win the world. God is preparing Ezekiel for ministry here. I could call this the call of God, or the call of Ezekiel, him receiving the call of God on his life. I've titled it "When God Speaks." I have another sermon by that name, but anyhow, because as we'll see, everything started happening when God began to speak. He watches over his word to perform it. Oh, listen, beloved, before this thing is all done, when this is done, we're going to be unified in this very one thought, that the greatest thing that has ever happened is that God spoke. God spoke. And whew, not only that, but God speaks. Right? So Ezekiel's having this vision. He's humbled by it. Now the Lord is telling him, because he's humbled himself, that it's time for you to get up, Ezekiel. So he's told, now that, you know, all the assumptions about his old strength has been dealt with. Ezekiel has no strength. The same experience Daniel had when he saw a vision of an angel. He fell over, had no strength. John the Revelator, when he talked to Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, he fell over and had no strength. And so here, we come to Ezekiel, and he's finding the same thing. We see the same thing happen to him. "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." And I will speak to you. Now, what's interesting is verse 2. "Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. And so this is what we find. When God speaks to you, there is a great release of power to you. When God, imagine Ezekiel's on his face and God tells him to stand up, but Ezekiel cannot stand up under his own power. Why? Because the glory of God has been revealed to him. His strength is gone. He has no strength. Yet God tells him to stand up. And Ezekiel says in verse 2, "Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me," listen, "and set me on my feet." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. So when God speaks to you, there's a great release of his power to you to accomplish what he has spoken. Now listen, church. That means so much. Because you've heard it said before, God will never tell you to do something that you cannot do. Well, that's true, and it's not true. Because he will tell you to do something that both you can do and you cannot do. First, you have to be willing, but without the Spirit, you can't do it. Right? And so God speaks to Ezekiel, and his word, because his word and his spirit always agree, whenever God's word goes forth, his spirit rides right on top of it to accomplish it. Whenever God's word goes forth, the Spirit of God goes forth with it. It's just like the living creature and the wheels. They're one and the same. You don't get one without the other. And so when the command comes, we see it in Psalms 33 and 9. The scripture says, for God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. How was Ezekiel able to stand on his feet? He said, the Spirit entered me. Zechariah said it this way, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It was the Spirit of God that enabled, you say, one of the, you know, what, we do that every day. We get up and stand up on our feet. Yeah, but we don't do it apart from the Spirit of God. We may think we do. We may think we do. But oh no. Oh no. So what we are commanded to do by the Lord, we cannot do without the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit. Whenever God speaks to us, the Spirit of God is active in his speaking. For the Spirit and the Word always agree. Remember Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it said this, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Where the Word was spoken, we see the Spirit hovering. Whenever the Lord speaks to us, his power through the Spirit is made available for us to do what he has spoken to us. Whenever the Lord speaks to us, his power through the Spirit is made available for us to do what he has spoken to us. So what is the Lord saying to us? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? Whatever he is saying, his Spirit, his ability is resident through the power of the Spirit for us to accomplish his will. This is why it's so important that, you know, when we preach the gospel, when Jesus commanded his disciples, go into every nation, preach the gospel to every nation. Why? Because in Romans 1:16, Paul said this. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You want to be a powerful Christian? Go around preaching the gospel. Hello? Really? Go around preaching the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, so that when the gospel is preached, power is released for people to be saved. You see it in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10. Remember when Peter was called by Cornelius to go preach, to go tell the people. The angel, you know, said, called for Simon. Simon Peter comes. He sits down and he's preaching the gospel. And he says, you all heard about the gospel that Jesus began to preach and so forth. While he's speaking, the Spirit comes and falls on the people. While he's preaching the word, the Spirit comes and falls on the people. So in Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. Acts 11:15, when he's explaining it to his brethren, the Jews who were upset with him for speaking to Gentiles, he says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Why? Because as he began to preach the word, the Spirit came into agreement and rested on the people. When God speaks, the Spirit comes in agreement. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 shows, is another picture of it. John says this, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And here's John. He's seeing a vision. He's in a vision. And a voice comes to him and says, come up here. Now, let me ask you, how was John going to get up there? Did John initiate the vision? No. Did John determine where he went in the vision? No. So the voice says, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2 of Revelation 4. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. So after the word of God came to John, immediately he was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So Ezekiel has seen what happens when God speaks. See? He sees what happened. What did he see? God spoke to him to stand up on his feet. Next thing Ezekiel knows, the Spirit of God comes upon him. Next thing he knows, he's standing up on his feet. Now, Ezekiel just learned something, just like you and I would. When God speaks to me, the Spirit of God, just like was in the living creatures in those wheels, when he speaks, his Spirit comes and provides power for what he has spoken to come to pass. So he is standing in the will of God by the Spirit of God. We see Ezekiel here. So he's standing. God's not done speaking, right? In verse 3. But God continues to speak. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And so we know, God calls him again, son of man, reminding him of his frailty, reminding him of his dependency upon God. And he says, I am sending you, and you will go by and with the help of my Spirit to a resistant people. I am sending you. So in Ezekiel's mind, I'm sure his ears would be perked up to what God is about to do. I'm sending you to an impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, verse 5, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. So the Lord says, I'm sending you, Ezekiel. Has anyone ever had the Lord send them somewhere? When God sends you somewhere, everything you need to get where you're going is provided for. All you need is to hear that God is sending you. That's it. You say, well, but isn't there a whole lot that goes in between? Mm-hmm. In many cases, yes. But that's not the issue. The issue is that God says, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And when God says, I'm sending you, Ezekiel, just like he said to Ezekiel, stand up on your feet, and the Spirit of God entered into Ezekiel and stood him up. So everything God spoke to Ezekiel, it would work the same way. It was a pattern. That when God spoke, his Spirit would confirm what God has spoken through his word. So then, I'm going to stop there, jump over to chapter 3 and close this. Because I simply want to show you that the same pattern was at work. So God said to Ezekiel, stand upon your feet. The Spirit entered him and allowed him to be able to stand upon his feet in the presence of God so that God could speak to him. God is calling Ezekiel to a ministry. He's calling him to a vocation, a place of work. God calls people today. And he sends people here. He sends people there. He sends people in multiple places. But in verse 4, he says, I'm sending you. In verse 2, he says, I'm sending you. And as we saw the pattern up in verses 1 and 2, in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12, we see the Spirit now come and do what God said that he was going to do in the life of Ezekiel. God said, I'm sending you. Ezekiel 3:12 says, then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from this place. And I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Here Ezekiel, where the Spirit is taking him, he hears the creatures and the wheels begin to move along with him. Why? Because he's in the Spirit, and where the Spirit would go, the four living creatures and the wheels would go. So God said, I'm sending you, and then the Spirit came and took Ezekiel and carried out what God said, what God had declared in his word to Ezekiel. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was upon me, was strong upon me. I went in bitterness. There's the struggle. There's sometimes the human element when the Spirit's taking us somewhere and we're not, you know, we don't feel exactly comfortable in the ride of things and how we ought to get there. I believe what the Grams just went through was a picture of that. Was a bit of the struggle. But if God sends you somewhere, we say it this way, where God guides, he provides, right? Is it true? You better believe it's true. But it doesn't mean that there won't be some bitterness in spirit. It doesn't mean that there won't be any struggle. If it did, everyone would be a Christian. Everyone would be running to serve the Lord. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Aviv, who dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So the Spirit of God took the word of God and brought it to pass in the life of Ezekiel. When God speaks, the Spirit moves. When God speaks, the Spirit moves. Always. When God speaks, the Spirit moves. That's one of the major differences. Now, we're made in the image of God, but beloved, when we speak, what moves? When we speak, some of you will remember E.F. Hutton, those of you who old enough to remember these commercials about E.F. Hutton. But when we speak, who's listening? When we speak, does the Spirit move? No. When God speaks, every time, when God speaks, the Spirit moves, because God doesn't speak anything ill-advised. He doesn't speak anything that's not according to his eternal purpose. He doesn't speak anything that he does not mean. Everything that he speaks is unlike us. Everything he says matters. Right? So when God speaks, the Spirit moves. And if that's true, when a person refuses the word of God, they are also refusing the work of the Holy Spirit. When a person refuses that which God has spoken to them, they are refusing the work of the Holy Spirit that accompanies the word of God. What a thought. What a thought. That's why in Hebrews 1, when it says that God spoke, it opens that way. God spoke in time past to the fathers, through the prophets, so forth and so on, various ways and so forth. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. One of the greatest things that we realize as believers in this life is that when God speaks, even to our life today, God can fix so much in our lives by one word, by one word. He can fix, set free, deliver, unchain, unhook. He can do all that by one word spoken. Why? Because with that one word spoken comes the activity of his Holy Spirit to bring to pass what he has said. He watches over his word to perform it. He says, the word that goes out of my mouth, it will accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So all of his words come for a reason and come for a purpose. Ezekiel, back up to chapter 1, said, like the appearance of a rainbow on a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of brightness all around it. Even though Ezekiel carried a hard word to a stubborn people, God's overall purpose and desire for them was mercy. It was mercy. To which Ezekiel, the last thing he saw in the appearance of this whole vision was the rainbow, which pointed to God's mercy. Let's stand to our feet. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy is never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we thank you today that even though your word to Israel was harsh, and Lord, your judgment came, it was not to bring them to an end. It was not to wipe them out, but it was so that you might visit them, Lord, for their iniquities, but then have mercy upon them, then grant them grace. And Father, we thank you that your word declares that your mercies are over all the works of your hands. And Father, I thank you for your mercies that are upon our lives. And I thank you for the word of God in mercy that comes to us, O God. Lord, that your word that came to us on the day of our salvation, your word that comes to us repeatedly, O God, upon which your spirit moves, Lord, and works in us and brings about this great salvation that is ours. Thank you, O God, that as your word feeds us daily, so then your spirit, O God, feeds us and nourishes us and completes and matures and perfects that which concerns us. So that every word that you've spoken to us, Lord, will be realized by the working of your Spirit hovering over our lives, filling our lives. Lord, may your word continually be received by your people. May we continually be moved upon by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your name in all things might be glorified in the church. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.